It's the Friday edition of the Business News Hour. Thanks for coming by. Today, what happens if you are a bank and you charge more in interest but you pay less in taxes? Two words, big profits. Pension funds and tax cutting. What's happening? That story coming up as well. At one time, there were at least 19 different items that had the Trump brand emblazoned on them. Today, not so much. There's an article out there that suggests the hole left by Toys R Us going out of business could be filled by an existing, interesting business. How's your life? You can get a checkup on that this weekend here in Des Moines. The Technology Association of Iowa held their Prometheus Awards last night. We'll share. Guests today include Cindy Axne, who is in a primary race to face off against David Young in Iowa's 3rd Congressional District. And Jeff Pitts joins us for a look at stuff to do in the metro. At Business News, well, that is coming up.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby, is made possible through the support of Arion, human resources, payroll, and call center help for businesses. AUREON.com. AARP of Iowa. Real possibilities. AARP, Iowa. The Business News Hour, also presented by Tero International, your elite training team at TERO.com. RE/MAX Concepts, with offices in Cedar Rapids, Nevada, Ames, and the greater Des Moines Metro. RealEstateConcepts.net. The Business News is next.
To live in the greater Des Moines Metro is to love the area and all the new and exciting things happening in central Iowa. But you want more opportunities to connect with the community you love. AARP hears you. That's why they're expanding their activities and programs to help you explore all that life has to offer here in greater Des Moines. Visit aarp.org/IA to get involved. If you don't think building better communities when you think AARP, then you don't know ARP. Discover all the real possibilities right here in your community.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of RE/MAX Real Estate Concepts with offices in Iowa and Nebraska. It's realestateconcepts.net. And Iowa Computer Repair. You want your computer to work? That's what they do. IowaComputerRepair.com.
Hey, welcome to the Friday edition of the Business News Hour. You want to reach out to us? You can do that on Twitter. We are at IOB_NewsHour. That's at IOB_NewsHour. We have, of course, just like everybody else, a Facebook page, unless you've deleted your Facebook account. And of course, you can find all of our stuff. Just Google Insight on Business, the News Hour, and we will be right there. You know, some of the largest banks in the United States today released earnings reports, and to use an old saying, it is all very, very good for them. J.P. Morgan Chase recorded a 35% increase in profits. Citigroup saw profits increase by 13%, and Wells Fargo saw a bump in profits as well. Like its competitor, J.P. Morgan Chase, Citigroup benefited this quarter from the tax law passed late last year. While revenues were up modestly in Citi's overall business, the amount of money it paid in taxes fell by 23% from a year earlier. Wells Fargo, which also reported its results, said the drop in taxes also helped its bottom line. Now, the formula is really pretty simple. You charge more in interest, plus pay less in taxes, and bingo. That means huge profits. Oh, to be a bank. But then there's this. Regulators have offered Wells Fargo a penalty of $1 billion to resolve outstanding investigations related to auto insurance and mortgage lending abuses. From their quarterly results posted today, we learned that's the reality. But even with this, Wells Fargo reported a 6% jump in quarterly profit. You know, one of the downsides of lower taxes is the fact that states are running out of money to fund their public employee pension funds. The annual report from Pew Charitable Trusts finds that public worker pension funds with heavy state government involvement owed retirees and current workers $4 trillion as of 2016. Problem is, they only had about $2.6 trillion in assets. That's a gap of $1.4 trillion. Larger cities and school districts have had to cut service and install pay freezes just to pay for the rising costs of their retirees. Pew says that pension funds were well-funded until about the year 2000. Around that time, many states increased pension benefits without a way to pay for them. And in some states, like in California and Illinois, courts usually find that the government must honor those commitments. Also in the early 2000s, the tech stock bubble burst. Spiraling investment returns downward. Some states, like New Jersey, made things worse by skimping on their contributions. The study finds that states increasingly rely on investment returns in an attempt to stabilize their finances, which, of course, makes them more vulnerable to market fluctuations. Now, because of a strong market last year, next year's report, which will assess the state of pensions as of 2017, is expected to look better. But given the wild fluctuations in the markets, nothing is a sure bet. It is a topic of serious discussion. You know, long ago, before Donald Trump ran for office, he made a fortune on licensing his name on a myriad of products. There was Trump deodorant, Trump ties, Trump steaks, Trump underwear, Trump furniture. And at one time, and this is kind of interesting in today's news cycle, there was even a Trump-branded urine test. Of course, Trump never made any of the products. He simply sold his name to the manufacturers. 3 years ago, Trump listed 19 companies that were paying him to produce or distribute Trump-branded consumer goods. In recent weeks, only two said they're still selling Trump-branded items. One is a Panamanian company selling Trump bed linens and home goods. The other is a Turkish company selling Trump furniture. Of the rest? Well, some Trump partners quit in reaction to campaign trail rhetoric on immigrants and Muslims. Others said that their licensing agreements had expired. Others said nothing beyond confirming that they'd stopped working with Trump. The last Trump goods are now being sold off, often at a discount. One cologne is marked down from $42 an ounce to $9.99. Success by Trump, the website says, and below that, the sign is clearance. The decline of the Trump merchandise empire is just another sign of how politics has changed the president's business. On one hand, it's allowed his Mar-a-Lago club and his D.C. hotel to monetize his political alliances, raking in money from evangelical Christian groups and GOP campaigns. But it's also driven away customers and partners who've been drawn to the old Trump brand. That Trump brand that used to be, that was a hustling icon of ostentatious wealth who sold golf club memberships to the truly rich and $42 cologne to those who merely wanted to be just like Donald J. Trump. And what spurred growth more than anything? When The Apprentice took off on national television, Trump was on his game. Today, not so much. Marketing. What a great science. When Toys R Us folded shop, the question was, who might step in to fill that void? Now, true, Target and Walmart both sell toys, but it might be argued that the same demographic that shopped at Toys R Us doesn't much match Walmart, and Target, well, perhaps. But still, that's why this article from The Motley Fool interested us. It suggests the existing company that could swoop in and fill the toy void might just well be Barnes & Noble. The bookselling chain has been in the specialty toy business for years. It mostly sells higher-end board games, educational and semi-educational toys. But Barnes & Noble has, well, they've left that mass market of very, well, usual toys to places like Target, Walmart, and in the past, Toys R Us. But will Barnes & Noble actually pick up the opportunity to go into the toy business? Writer Daniel Klein says they might be wise to do so. After all, their book sales continue to slide. Barnes & Noble could become the chain that offers in-depth toy knowledge and become a destination for consumers who want something more than the most popular products. And that could be a growth market for Barnes & Noble, which books, sadly, will never be. Hey, an interesting event is scheduled for the capital city this weekend. It's the Life Expo. We'll talk about it more with Jeff Pitts from CityView later in the broadcast. The Life Expo is going to be held at the Iowa Events Center Saturday and Sunday and offers more than 100 exhibitors ready to help grown-ups of varying ages and backgrounds face the daunting task of adulting. Hey, if you're having trouble figuring it all out, you might want to attend the Life Expo. Who knows? You might just get a new lease on life. Well, it was a big night last night at the Technology Association of Iowa Prometheus Awards. The Technology Association of Iowa and LWBJ have given this year's Prometheus Awards to a slate of innovative companies and individuals, including venture capital fund Next Level Ventures, Circle Computer Resources, and Phantom EFX. TAI President Brian Waller tag-teamed with the awards presentation with TAI Chairwoman Erin Rollengagen at the dinner held at the Community Choice Credit Union. While there were dozens of awards given, we'll highlight just a few, which calls into the fact the wide range of winners. The City of Cedar Rapids won for a range of work. Startup Performance Livestock Analytics picked up an award. The Des Moines Metropolitan Planning Organization and manufacturing giant Sukup Manufacturing all won. Renewable Energy Group of Ames won Life in Sciences and Biotech Company of the Year, while Power Pollen, we've had them on the show before, won in Ag Tech, and Global VetLink was named Software Company of the Year. Good stuff. Prometheus Awards from Des Moines. Hey, when we come back, we'll continue our look at the remaining candidates vying for the opportunity to run against Representative David Young of Iowa's 3rd Congressional District. It's an interview with Cindy Axne, and that is coming up next.